coronavirus in the U.S.
Americans can plainly see that things are not just bad, but getting worse, while the rest of the world watches us with a combination of pity and horror and probably a little less surprised than we think.
It is so sad what is happening to your country.
I know, it's shocking, right?
Shocking? I will not use this word. It is, to be expected.
We've seen our outbreak spiral out of control in a way that's even worse than the initial peak in April. The White House National Security Advisor just tested positive. Major League Baseball has an outbreak just days after starting its season. We're nearing a national peak in hospitalizations. We recorded 1,000 new deaths a day for 4 straight days. And labs across the country are once again facing long delays in testing thanks to supply shortages. Or as one public health official put it, it's like Groundhog Day. I feel like I've lived this day 4 or 5 months ago. We should have had testing figured out months ago. That was the whole point of flattening the curve, to buy time for our policymakers to get a system of testing, tracing, and isolation in place so we could contain future outbreaks. Remember that? When we all kept saying flatten the curve? Back when Dr. Fauci was the one briefing the nation at press conferences instead of chucking a ball like your grandpa used to? I'll go get it, Grandpa. Look both ways when you cross the street. And yet, the president and the GOP have shown zero interest in fixing the problem. In fact, Trump is so deeply invested in his own political fortunes and so profoundly detached from reality that he still thinks it would be better if we stop testing altogether and just let the virus rip through the country, sickening people undetected.
I personally think it's overrated, but I am totally willing to keep doing it. I'm okay with it if they want to do it, but it makes us look bad. But think of it, if instead of 50 million, we did 25 million, we'd have half the number of cases. The cases would be down. Here would be the normally headline. Not for me, it wouldn't be, but for anybody else, they'd say, cases cut in half.
Sad news. The United States this afternoon surpassed 150,000 total coronavirus deaths. And yet, this morning, over a half an hour span, Donald Trump shared 14 tweets defending, among other things, the use of hydroxychloroquine to treat the coronavirus, which has been the opposite has been recommended. One such tweet featuring a group of people in white lab coats calling themselves frontline doctors at what appeared to be a fake news conference. In the video, one person suggests that the anti-malaria drug is the cure for the coronavirus while suggesting that masks and shutdowns are not at all necessary. Donald Trump spreading lies, Dr. Wen, about hydroxychloroquine, spreading fantastical conspiracy theorists, spreading disinformation at a moment that is crucial, not just for our country's health, our country's safety, but for his own political health and safety. I guess I don't even know what to say at this point.
I also really don't know why he continues to spread this misinformation, considering that there actually now are therapies that are effective in the treatment of COVID-19. Dexamethasone, for example, a commonly used steroid, we know that it reduces mortality based on some studies that are done. We also know about remdesivir that reduces the time to recovery in COVID-19 patients who are hospitalized. I mean, we now have an abundance of evidence that hydroxychloroquine, chloroquine are not safe, that they cause very dangerous side effects, including heart rhythm abnormalities, liver problems, kidney problems, blood and lymph issues. And so it's actually very dangerous because we know that there are people who listen to President Trump for whom he is the most trusted messenger. And I do fear that they're going to go out and continue to take these treatments that are actually not advised by the FDA or by medical experts.
I don't know how to address that. I'm just going to certainly continue doing my job. I don't tweet, I don't even read them. So I don't really want to go there.
To the charge you've been misleading the American public?
I have not been misleading the American public under any circumstances.
We could have gotten somebody else. It didn't have to be Dr. Fauci. He's working with our administration, and for the most part, we've done pretty much what he and others, Dr. Birx and others, who are terrific, recommended. And he's got this high approval rating, so why don't I have a high approval rating with respect, and the administration, with respect to the virus? They're highly thought of, but nobody likes me. It can only be my personality, that's all.
This doctor he's referring to talks about things like succubus and incubus and dreams of sex with demons. Is cause of some issues. That's the doctor we're referencing here, by the way, folks. It all comes less than 24 hours after the president said in an explosive press conference that large portions of the United States are, quote, corona-free. Well, it's certainly not the case. No part of the country is free of the virus. Nowhere. No state. Nearly 4.4 million Americans have the virus, at least have had it, as we know of, and more than 151,000 people have died.
Corona isn't just stopping you from going to the gym to take mirror selfies. It's also decimated the world economy. Now, countries have been taking different approaches to help workers during this pandemic. You know, many countries in Europe are paying businesses to keep their employees on the payroll, even during shutdowns. Japan has suspended most tax collection for a year, and Russia is even allowing all of their election bots to meddle from home.
Very sweet.
And here in the US, Congress passed a big $3 trillion relief package back in March. But with the benefits of a package about to run out, Congress has been struggling to put together something new. Now, Democrats have been asking for another $3 trillion to extend and expand the benefits that have been helping people. And now, Republicans have finally responded with something a little less generous.
This morning, with tens of millions of Americans out of work, Senate Republicans are proposing to slash emergency unemployment benefits by $400, a plan that would cut that extra federal payment from $600 to $200 a week. With Republicans arguing additional payouts would discourage jobless Americans from returning to work.
In certain cases, people were paid more to stay home than they were to work. And I think that's something that the American public understands. We're not going to use taxpayer money to pay people more to stay home.
Man, I know Steve Mnuchin speaks like a ventriloquist dummy, but sometimes I wish someone would shove their hand up his ass and make him say the right things. Because look, it is true that some people have been earning more from these extra benefits than they were making at their jobs. But that's only because a lot of people in America don't make a living wage at their jobs. Like, I'm honestly surprised this White House is so against paying people not to work. I mean, they've been fine doing it for the past 4 years. Guys, if anything, going back to work too soon is what spreads coronavirus, which then makes it harder for everyone to go back to work. So the best way to go back to work is to not go back to work. If anything, the government should be sending everyone an HBO Max password and a giant bag of weed. It's the responsible thing to do. And here's the thing. You can always argue about whether it's good policy or bad policy to just give people money. I mean, it's good policy, but you can argue about it if you feel like it. But one thing that's raising eyebrows is that while the Republicans are saying they can't afford to give more money to laid off workers, they are managing to open up their wallets for some way more questionable expenses.
The bill is also coming under intense criticism for $1.75 billion allocated for a new FBI building, something McConnell said was included at the request of the White House.
The president has called for the rebuilding of the FBI building in downtown D.C. to occur on the same plot of land in which it currently exists. And why that's significant is because the Trump Hotel is right across the street from the FBI building. So the concerns are the president is trying to keep that